Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, we are thankful to be here today, and we're going to be singing out of Heavenly Highway Hymns, and I want to invite you to sing along. Even if you say, I'm not a singer, you don't have to. God gave you your voice, right? So pick up the book, turn with us, read the lyrics, if nothing else, and let's worship God in song today. Page 176. 179. Thank you. Turn that six upside down. 179. All right, let's turn to page 300. Page 300. by the world. Let's turn to 82, please. We got somebody else joining the choir. If you feel like you want to join, just come on up.
Thank you, Sister Heather. Thank you, Sister Carol. Carolyn, for playing today. It's good to see everybody out today. We still have a lot of sickness that's going about the church, and we're sorry to say that. We're backing up and punting, as the old saying goes, at times to fulfill spots, and we are thankful for those that are willing to step up and just to take part and to do the parts of leadership in the church. We always see that from time to time. And there's a lot of times, and I remember hearing it when my younger days, they said, well, when Brother Bowie Massey passed away at Mount Tabor, where I grew up at, they said, well, who's going to take care of the church? Well, there was other people that stepped up. You see, God always provides a Joshua. See, Joshua was the one that when Moses, when he died, somebody had to take Moses' place, and that was Joshua. There's always a Joshua around. Now, the important thing is to step up and just to do. And we're thankful for those that do that today and appreciate our song leader and our piano players today. It's always important to have those people to step up and to take part, and they've done a good job this morning thus far, and I know they'll continue on in that today. We appreciate each and every one being here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. So thankful that you saw fit to come and be with us today, and I hope that you get a great big blessing out of this service today. And we want you to follow the Lord today in this service. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you know what it is to worship God. And we want you to follow God. If you're not saved today, I hope the Lord convicts your heart today where that you'll know that you need the Lord more than anything else today. And that you can be saved today is what I hope you'll understand and know today. We are thankful for each and every one being here today. We're going to go back to something today. We haven't been doing our children's church. Brother Sam thought it was best to give just a little bit of break for a little while, and he's going to give us a children's church today. So, Brother Sam?
You went to the right spot there, didn't you? All right, let's go. Come here, buddy. Ezra. Come here. Here we go. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Sit right there. Isn't it though? Isn't it? All right. Sarah. You good? Bad time of the day for you. It's okay. I won't take long. Well, y'all are a good looking bunch. Is today Easter or something? Y'all dressed up like it's Easter. When is Easter? Anybody know? It's in this month. It's about 4 weeks from today, I believe. I won't keep you long. I know you're busy. I've checked your schedule. Some of you may have to go to work. Y'all heard of the four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? One of them is Mark, and he said in there in the fourth chapter, in the 21st verse, the speaker, which was Jesus, says, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right? He's trying to make a point. But that whole saying there about let him hear, you know, that's mentioned if you look at the Bible, if you do your research. There's about 18 verses in the Bible where it says something along that line. It might say, if any man hath an ear, or anybody that has ears to hear, let them hear. Well, why is that? Well, let me ask you something this. Have you ever heard about the saying that, you know, the Lord gave you two ears to hear and only one mouth to speak, so you should do more listening? Have you heard that? And everybody nods in agreement. I love it. Well, you've heard it here. That's a saying, okay? So I guess we have two ears because it balances our hearing and our understanding. But hearing is one thing, okay? But listening is something else. You know, I've heard it said about people, Ben, that, well, if the fat boy had 10 ears, he still wouldn't hear, you know, and he wouldn't mind. Have any of you ever been told something not to do it, or to do something and didn't follow through? I see some guilty looks over here. On one occasion, the writer said, be not only hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So in other words, it's very important that not only do we hear what somebody has to say, whether that's Brother Ricky, whether that's your teacher, whether that's your mom, whether that's somebody that's giving you some advice. So, if we have the ability to hear and our hearing works real well, you know, then we need to take in what's being said. Take that to heart. And then do what? Use that and apply that, okay? Y'all think y'all can say that verse? I bet you can say it. Not by yourself. But let's stand up, okay? I know I've kept you too long and y'all are on overtime now. All right, say this, say all this. Say Mark 4:23. Excuse me, Mark 4:23. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Huh? Okay. Here we're good. We're good. Thank y'all.
Sam, you might have noticed Brother Sam's just a little bit hoarse. Matter of fact, he told me earlier he would be singing bass today. And I thought when he first got up there, he sounded more like himself than he'd been sounding. But there's a lot of that junk going around, is the best way to say. And thankful that he was able to do it today, Children's Church. And we do that from time to time just to get to the kids a little extra attention. But we try to get it down to their level also, is what we try to do. It's good to see each and every one here today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Okay. Lord, help. Let's remember Brother Trey's dad. Somebody else. Go ahead, Miss Annie. Let's remember this in your prayers today. Somebody else. We've got several that are sick, and I'm not going to try to name them off, but I usually end up messing up when I do that and I leave somebody off. But I want us to keep in mind the ones that you're not seeing here today that you usually do. If you'll think about it, if you come here very often, you notice people being in particular spots. And you think about them, and, well, I missed them today. Well, there's a reason why they're not here today. So think about them. Pray for them. It might not be because they're sick. They may have had something else that's come up. But pray for them that they'll be back in their spot in the church soon. That's what we want them to do. Want you to do is pray for them to be back in their spot. So we're glad to see each and every one here today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a moment. And let's remember these that are sick in our prayers. You can see them in your bulletin, but the different names. But there were several things that was mentioned today. So let's be about God's business today, if we would. And let's ask the Lord just to be with those people. But also ask the Lord to be in our service today. We need lifting up, don't we? We need lifting up by the Spirit of God. So we'll call on one to start a prayer, but we want everybody to pray. Whether you pray out loud, if you want to pray out loud, go right ahead. But if you want to pray quietly, that's fine. No, I ain't going to do that one now. Brother Rodney, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Number 293. We'll do the first, second, and fourth verse.
Good morning again to everybody. Appreciate everybody that came up into the choir. I appreciate them coming up to sing. And I appreciate Sister Heather being willing to lead in the singing this morning. On short notice, I will add. And I appreciate her doing that. Appreciate Sister Carol playing today. I never got to hear her play. I'd heard she played, but I had never got to hear her play. I enjoyed it playing today. We appreciate each and every one being here today. And as I said, we have a lot that are sick and we need to be prayerful for them. But we live in a time in which that we need to pray for one another in spiritual matters. Our message today is going to come from the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah, is where we're going to start our reading lesson today. And if you want to turn with us there, I'd appreciate it very much. We won't spend a lot of time there, but I want you to be prayerful for this message. I actually had this verse or this thought given to me very early in the week, and I would say probably as early as Monday. And I had this thought, and I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to preach, kind of keep it on my heart and on my mind. I don't usually start thinking about what I'm going to preach until later in the week and trying to put something together. And so I try to put it off and get some other things out of the way first. And so I said, Lord, keep it on my heart and keep it in my memory. And sure enough, it stayed with me all week. And so I think it's something needful. Well, about midweek, I got asked a question. And that question ended up going along with this thought today. And an older man asked me this question. And his question was, where do you see the church in 100 years from now? Now, he wasn't talking about this church in particular, but he was talking about our churches as a whole. Where do you see the church in about 100 years from now? And he went on to tell me things that he was thinking. And truthfully, he never did give me a chance to answer. Well, I had the opportunity to be with some different preachers over the week, and I asked one of them this same question. I asked him, I said, where would you see our churches? And I shortened it down. I said within 20 years, and I told him the original question. And he says, if things don't change, he said, we won't have any churches. Now, up in Macon County, where this church originated, the arm of the church came from another church, but years ago at an association meeting, there was a man that stood up, and he was standing basically close to the middle of the Fed, and he made this statement. He said, there'll come a day that Lafayette will be a mission area. And, he made some people get mad, was my understanding, that there was a lot of people just, oh, how dare you say we would allow the gospel to get away from Lafayette? How dare you say it, Macon County, which is by many people's terms the hub of missionary Baptist beliefs. That's the way they kind of looked at it there. Still a lot of people there that way today. But I have seen in different places where that there are mission efforts in Macon County. There are mission efforts all over this area. And I was talking with Brother Ron Spurgeon last night, and we were talking about the work in Belize, and he was telling me about the numbers of the people down there and about how that people were coming out just to hear the gospel and how interested they were in that. And I've heard the same thing about the mission effort in Guatemala, that they have a people that are starved to death. And Brother Ron brought up the work in Africa. There is two new works that are going on in Kenya. Most people know about Brother Tom Orlando that is in Kenya and the work that he's done and the churches that have been started by that effort in there in Kenya. I forget what area of the land it is. But 200 miles away from him, all of a sudden there is two groups of people that did not know Brother Tom that have managed to hear a little bit of the gospel, and they're dying to hear the word. They're dying to hear about the church. And they're just so interested in it and just wanting people to come and teach them. And they're teaching them a lot over the internet, but they want people to come and tell them the truth. Two different efforts. And the question was posed, where do you see our churches? And the man said, if something doesn't happen in these United States, we won't have any churches. That's what's happening in our churches today. We are seeing individuals who are actually forgetting about God. They take it for granted that the church will be here. They take it for granted that somebody will open the doors. They take it for granted that somebody will come in and make sure that the light bill is paid, that the electricity is running, in other words, and the water is running. They take it for granted that somebody will stand in the church pulpit. You think I'm being a little bit extravagant in my thinking? So many times today we have a group of people in our churches that basically take care of the church, and they work to make sure that there's a church here for your children or your grandchildren here today. And this message is not to be a message of doom and gloom, because I'm fixing to turn exactly the opposite way. But I want you to take it into your heart, what would happen to this church if somebody didn't do something for this church to make sure that it stays alive, that it continues to do the work that God would want it to do, to keep preaching the same gospel that you heard when that you were lost and away from God, so that your children or grandchildren, your friends, might hear the truth and be saved. What would happen if this church were to go away? Now, I want you to go with us into Nehemiah. And the book of Nehemiah was a man that was an Israelite who had been carried off into captivity. And to give you a quick short story about Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer for one of the kings of Persia. And as he, I believe it was Artaxias, Artaxias. And he was the cupbearer. In other words, he was the man that brought the cup, the wine, if you wouldn't say, the liquids to him. And his purpose was to do one thing. Not only hand him a cup of the drink that he had, but to take a sip of it also, to prove that there was nothing in there that was going to harm the king. That was his purpose. But this man had always, Nehemiah had always come in before his king, and he had done just as he always did. He had a good countenance about his face, but on this day he had heard bad news about his homeland, Jerusalem, and that is how the walls were broken down, how that the temple itself was torn down, all the things that were going on that was bad in the land. And so Nehemiah appealed unto Artaxias to allow him to go back to Jerusalem and to build the walls. And Artaxias gave him leave to do this. And he gave him leave to do the work that he needed to do back in Jerusalem. And when he got there, everything was so bad in his mind that he just looked at it and I'm sure he cried. The scripture tells us that by night, because of the enemies of the city of Jerusalem, that they went out by night, him and just a few men, and the donkey that they rode on, and they went around the city examining the walls of Jerusalem. When he got back, and this is where we're starting our reading lesson, then in the 17th verse he said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. He said, so they strengthened their hands for this good work." That's reading verses 17 and 18 today of the second chapter of Nehemiah this morning for our reading lesson. As I said, in a sense, we started out with basically what we could call doom and gloom. But today, my thought is not to dwell on the things that are dooming, but on those things which are arising. I want us today to get into our minds that there is a need to arise. That was the last part of that verse. It said, then they said, let us arise and build up the walls of the city. Now, I'm not going to be talking about building up the building itself. I'm not going to be talking about building up the church so much today. However, there will be some parallels today on this matter, because I want you to see that there is a need to be lifted up today in our ranks. That man that asked me that question, he was looking at it in a way that he saw the way it was when he was young, and he just looked at it and he saw the danger that he was in. That preacher that I asked him about asked the same question. He did the same way. Confession, I had to agree with both of them that truthfully, that if some things don't happen in our churches today, we're going to go out of existence. Not because that of a lack of interest in people coming into the house, but on interest in the truth. Now, what I want you to see, it is important for us to build up the truth of God. It is important for us to show how that God is going to give us some great big wonders. And I want you to arise in your spirit today. I want you to be lifted up in your spirit today. I'm going back to our Sunday school lesson for just a little bit today. Our new Sunday school books talks about God providing. And today's was on how God provided food for mankind. And it was a really good thought, I thought, this morning. Brother Stewart brought out many good points in his lesson today. But God always provides for those that wants to follow him. Those that wants to serve him, he will provide for them. Now, the very first thing that God provided for all of us is this one thing. He provided for us a way in which that we might have eternal life. That is the plan of salvation I'm talking about. I believe when the Bible was talking about on the first day that God created the light, I believe that light was that plan of salvation whereby we might be saved. It said in the scripture that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation, or before the foundation of the world is the actual wording of it. Before that there was ever a lamb slain, it was Jesus that was on God's mind. It was his plan of salvation is what he did.
But God said that man could sin. He made him to be a free moral agent, being able to judge for himself, make a decision, if you would, for himself on whether that he would follow God or not. It was God's plan that if he did sin, he would have a way of which that he could come back to God. When that man sins, and every one of us that's been saved by the grace of God, every one of us has gotten down to a place where that we were so low, so downhearted in our sin that we needed picking up, is the way I like to put it. We needed to be lifted up. And I like the words of David in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, when that he talked about that he called upon the Lord, but what he said, and he brought me up out of the horrible pit. And that is exactly what sin is. It's a horrible pit. It is a pit of destruction. It is one that makes us to know that we are sinners. It's one that allows us to see our condition. It allows us to see the holiness of God, and then it brings us to a place. And what David said, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, he said. And then he said, he set my foot upon a rock and established my goings, is what he said. Know today that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have been lifted up today. I want you to remember that time in which that you were lost and undone, when that you had no hope of eternal life. And God lifted you up out of that miry clay of sin and established your goings upon a solid rock. And that solid rock is Jesus himself. That is the first lifting up that I'm talking about today. It's important for us today to remember that God is lifting us up in all of these circumstances today. I want to call to your attention the prayer requests. We didn't have a lot during our service here today. Many of them had already been mentioned during Sunday school. A lot of people says, well, there's no need to mention people. God already knows their troubles, their sorrows, and their pains. But did you realize I don't know what your trouble is? Did you realize these sisters over here that praise, they don't know what you need, what your desires are? These gentlemen that are over here that are prayers, they don't know the needs that are there. But it's important for us to pray for one another. It's important for us to lift up individuals unto God. Now, I'm going to give you an example out of the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. And this is a short story and a miracle that happened because Jesus came on the scene. But I want you to know something. Somebody had to bring this lady to Jesus. Well, really, they didn't bring her to him. They just brought up her illness, her need. You see, Jesus is lifting us up daily in our prayers to others. If you go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew and you look at verse 14 and 15, this is one of the shortest miracles and stories that you'll hear. And it happened to Peter and his wife. Peter's wife was, her mother was sick. Said, basically is what it makes it sound like. She didn't know what was going on. She had a great fever. If you've ever had a very strong sickness and you was in a place where that you didn't recollect it afterwards, well, just went on. Hannah was sick earlier in the week. Her granddaughter was sick earlier in the week, and Paula asked her last night. She said, do you remember us being there Tuesday night? And she said, yeah, I remember it. But she slept through 90% of the time we was there. But the thing about it is, a lot of times you don't know what's going on. And that was the state of Peter's mother-in-law. And what was said, it was made known unto the Lord about her sickness. And the Lord went unto her. And what he says, that he went in and he touched her hand. Now, what I'm trying to get to you today, he just touched her hand, but God lifted her up. He did. He brought her up out of that bed. No, the scripture said that she rose up and that she started ministering unto them. In other words, she started waiting on the table. How's a good mother do when she's got guests in the house? Oh, you get over here. You sit right here. You go over here and you sit here. Do you like this particular food or do you like this? I've got these berries I can give you. I can bring you this bread. That's what she did. But just a little while before that, what was she doing? She was laying in a bed suffering. You see, I'm bringing this up today. I want you to understand, in the Lord, there is lifting up. In our prayers, there is lifting up. How many times have you heard somebody say, I could feel your prayers for us in that sickness? I could feel your prayers. The preacher's talking about it. I don't say it a lot, but I can tell when you're praying for me and when you're not. But I'm going to tell you, there is lifting up in your prayers because it comes to Jesus, and then Jesus does the lifting up. We live in a day and age when that most denominational people, I'll say it that way, they like to talk about the miracles and they like to talk about what they did. And I remember there was one particular feller that I won't mention his name, but he was one that he thought that he had to pop him in the forehead. I mean, like that right there. It's basically what he would do. One of them got brain damage out of it. But the thing I want you to get in your mind is, he ended up thinking that he was doing the healing. There's no man that has the power to heal. Now, you may disagree with me on this. There was the apostles that done some healing. There was men of the early church that did. But the Bible tells us those things went away. Why? Because it needed to be a faith. In the early church, they showed the glory of God by these things. But then after that, when that which is perfect is come, and that was the perfect word of God that came into being, when it was all finished and done and the churches had that, then they had the perfect law of liberty is what the scripture calls it. And it was healing to the souls. Now, as you think of these things, I want you to think today how the lifting up goes. There's some of us that from time to time, I hear prayer requests. I've got a family member that's in dire need of prayer. They've gotten off into sin, and, oh, Lord, they need help right now. How many of you's been in that place? And you get to that place and you're thinking about your child. Maybe it's a sister or a brother. Maybe it's some other family member. Maybe it's a close friend. Oh, I've seen some close friends of mine that, Lord, they went and done some things I couldn't believe they did. I did. Honestly, I couldn't believe the amount of sin that they had gotten into. You see, this message today is about Jesus lifting us up. You see, all these things are about building up the walls of the church, not just Jerusalem, but of the church. You see, in these things that I'm telling you about today, you can find strength. Why do you need strength?
Because I'll guarantee you every one of you's got caught up with a friend who's put down every church and Jesus and everything else at one time or another. And as they have brought that up to you, maybe you didn't stand against them, but you said, well, yeah, I guess they do. You see, your wall needed to be built up. And I think that's what this message is about today. If your walls are needing to be built up today, listen to what I'm telling you. God is the one that will build it up. But it takes our efforts to do it. God is a gracious God. He does things so many times in our life that involves just the grace, the unmerited favor of God in our lives. He does that so much. But then there's times, what does he do? Well, you've got to get on your knees. Have you ever had the Lord tell you it's time you got down and prayed? Have you ever had those times when the Lord told you, well, you've got to help yourself first. I'm going to help you a lot more. I'm going to give you an example. The children of Israel were out in the desert. They'd been given manna to eat. Now they'd gotten thirsty. Oh yeah, God provided them water, didn't he? Do you know what the rest of the story is? God told Moses, he said, you get up into the mountain, into this certain place here. And he said, you take with you who? Not the entire people, but the elders. He said, you take them up there. And the Lord told Moses, he said, now you strike the stone. You see what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's important for us to strike the stone. When God tells us to strike it, he will bring forth a blessing. You see, not only did the elders and Moses drink of that water, but every one of the children of Israel that it came out. You know, they was supposed to be over 1 million men, not counting women and children. Oh, that was a pretty good river of water that came down that day, wasn't it? You think about God's blessings on these times. You see, it's important for us to remember that God gives us these great blessings to remember that we can be lifted up in these matters. Now, one of the things that is so common in our church belief is one other thing that I want to bring to your mind here today. I want to bring to your mind this one thing. This is not our home. How many of you sung that song? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm not good at repeating songs, but I can get that one out. This world is not my home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So what we're thinking about in our lives, and this is one of the things that even when we get down so much spiritually, the two things that we can just bank on, I'm going to use that word, we can bank on these two things, and these are going to be the bookends. Salvation that we talked about earlier, but now eternal life. Not just in this world. Do we have hope? When we go into our church services, you know, it's easy for us to say in our church services, hey, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know I've got that promise. I'm going to live with Jesus forever one of these days. But we have that promise inside of us also. That not only in here in church,
But there is coming a day when we will be changed. And what it said in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the 15th chapter, I believe it is. He said, we will be changed in that day. This mortal body will put off this physical clay. And we will have a body that is like unto the Son of God, is what it says. And that body is going to be a wonderful body, one of so goodness and mercy. And that's something that we are to look forward to. I still like to quote Brother Steve up at Old Macedonia. He lost his leg in a motorcycle accident when he was just a teenage boy. He'd stand up and he'd say, I know one of these days I'm going to heaven, and the first thing I'm going to do is run. He said, I hadn't run since I was a teenager. This old mortal body's going to go away. Brother Landy asked me this morning, we was talking about our knees. He said, can you squat? And I said, about this much, and I showed him how much. You know, when we get over there, these aches and pains are going to go away. You see, what I'm trying to do today is make you know that even though we have the sadness of this world, yeah, we've got sadnesses. We've got troubles on every hand, don't we? Oh, we've got bosses that gives us problems. We've got family members that are causing trouble in our families. We've got things that are causing us so much heartache. Look to Jesus. Look to Him first and foremost over everything, but more than anything else, know that this life is a temporary thing. You're not going to live in this world forever. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Look at verse 16. He said, for in that day, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's one of the things I look forward to. I've heard people talk about it, saying, I'd love to be at the cemetery and watch all the graves burst open and see them people coming forward. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm at the cemetery, I ain't going to worry about them. I'm not. I'm going to look at Jesus. For it says in that next verse, he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, I want you to get that 18th verse. Wherefore means take notice of this, is like we said. Comfort one another with these words. What do you mean by comfort? You know, when I get to thinking about that day, it lifts me up on the inside. It just makes me that much happier. To know that one of these days, whenever that day comes, it could be today, and the Lord could sound his trumpet, and I could go off to be with him. Think about that. Does that not lift your heart? Does it not make you want to joy in those things that are God? It are too. Now, I've got one other place I want to go, if you bear with me. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Because I've talked about us today, haven't I? I wanted you to be lifted up in these things today. I wanted you to know that even though these things are bothering you, even though we see the things that are going wrong politically, the things that's going wrong in our nation, the things that we see in our churches that are not what they ought to be or what we remember them being, we need to remember there is lifting up in God, in Jesus. There was a day that David longed for, and that was the day that the temple would be built. David didn't get to build the temple, but his son was allowed to build it. And what he did is he went to, as when David died, Solomon started working on a building project. And he got that temple done, and he brought all the people there into Jerusalem to see God's house. I'm going to ask you something. How do people see God's house today? Oh, they drive by this road right out here. Oh, that's God's house right there, right? You are God's house. You are the church. This is a building, but you are the church. How do they see God's house? Solomon brought everybody in, and they started doing the work of the temple. The priests started making their sacrifices. By the way, y'all are priests. Maybe not in a physical manner. You don't sacrifice animals, but you sacrifice yourself. And they started doing that work, and they had brought the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it right up into the place where it goes, and they set it in place. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, that is it's symbolic of Christ. We need Christ in the middle of our church. You want this church to continue? Bring Jesus in. Bring him into the midst of you. Set him in his place. Now, I want to call to your attention. I hadn't thought about this until right there. There were steps that went up to that place where that Ark of the Covenant sat. They rose it up and put it high in its place. Lift Jesus up. Now, I want you to listen to what it says in verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, meaning they had sanctified themselves, they had separated themselves in the proper way, and did not then wait by course. In other words, they went out in a hurry. They didn't do it by marching out. It says, also the Levites, which were singers, and all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, purity, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Boy, they made a lot of noise, didn't they? It came to pass, as the trumpets and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and with the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. And by the way, that cloud is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You want your church to be lifted up? Do what these people did. You sing with praise. You sound the trumpet. You may not have an actual trumpet in your hand, but you sound the noise of God in your service. And God's Holy Spirit will fill this church house. So that the priest could not stand to minister, by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I think today one of the greatest things that's missing out of all of our churches, I'm not picking on Murfreesboro. We are better than many of our churches. We are. We're better than many of our churches as far as spiritual action. But if you really want to see this church flourish, if you want to see this church's walls built up, if you want to see the Spirit of God moving in this church, if you want to see the people in your family that are lost, if you want to see great things happening spiritually, lift up Jesus. Bring His Spirit into your church, into you. You can do it. I want you to understand that you can do it. Well, I remember Brother so-and-so, I remember Sister, how she used to get in the Spirit and just shout and do those. You can do that too. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can if you'll start talking to God about His Spirit. This is something that I want you to start praying for today. I want you to pray that not only you can start feeling more spiritual, showing the Spirit of God and allowing Murfreesboro, Tennessee to see this church. Remember, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you. If you want them to see the church of the living God here today or anytime, talk to God about His Spirit. Make the sacrifices. Sanctify yourself. Make yourself where that you can serve God. Preacher, you're asking an awful lot. It may seem like a lot. But I also remember another song that said, little is much when God is in it. You make a little bit of an effort. You think about how God's done lifted you up at different times when that you was lost, when that you had problems with your family, when there were sicknesses in your family and you got down and prayed and God lifted those things up, He can lift you up spiritually also. I want you to think about that. That's my message, by the way, if you want to get ready. I want you to think about that. Think about when that you got saved. Think about the promise that He's given you as far as eternal life. That's what we generally go to get that good feeling inside, that good spiritual feeling inside of us. Think about those things. And just desire the Spirit of God to lift you up spiritually, not just physically, but spiritually. Now you see some is praying here. Let us come into the altar and let's pray. Everybody that will. You make your way down to a place that you can pray. Let's just pray. Instead of a song, let's pray.
Your Heavenly Highway Hymns, and turn to page 13, if you would stand.